Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 tonight. And I'm glad that he's got all the time. And he's on the throne. Amen. Preacher said, why should I worry? I think that's part of it. Go along with it and worry about all the things of the day and not get any rest at night worrying about everything that I can't take care of and I can't control when God never slumbers nor sleeps. And he said, there ain't no need in both of us staying up all night. Amen. And I praise God for that, that God's got it all under control. And my job is just to trust him. Amen. My job's to follow him. And Galatians chapter 6, we're going to be in a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. Not something that I don't know. I've heard, I think Brother McBride said it when I was in college, if it's not new, it's probably not true. Amen. And so I want to just touch on a place here tonight and just talk to us. We come to this place in the year, and even though it's not the end of the year, when we're looking at a school year and a college year, we're heading towards the end. You know, and we're about middle way through a spring campaign for the church, and we're heading into some things. And all the time, every one of us have things, volatile things going on in our lives. And if we, you know, polled the crowd tonight, I would say probably 1/3 of us probably had our bucket dumped out this week, and something has changed in our lives. If we could just, I mean, going across the place, and I mean, that's going to be all the time with things happening in our lives. But every battle that's ever been won, all right, every battle that's ever been won in this life or lost was won or lost in the mind long before it was ever fought on the battlefield. Somebody decided, again, we could go through and use great quotes from Churchill. And so many people told Churchill to throw in the towel, to give the thing up. So many people had told him, but Churchill was, he was not a quitter. Amen. And I believe that he had already fought the battle in his mind and won the battle of the mind and was going to give his very last. I think that as Americans, as we see that the degradation of what it used to mean to be an American. For me, American used to mean not that we were rich or that we were so much more than everyone else, but we had grit. We had a good pride in who we were and where we were from and our heritage of where we had come from. We were proud that God had superintended and placed us in this place and had his hand upon us as a nation in our beginning. We were proud, rightfully proud, not that we weren't humble, but that we were proud of our beginnings and that we were proud that God, not only when we fought, God fought with us. I want to just say this. You know, most of the battles, spiritual battles that we fight, if it was not for God, too many times we get up and we puff ourselves up like we won that thing. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God indwelling the believer, if it wasn't for the Word of God restraining us and being someone else that preached it and put it in our hearts and in our head, we would lose a lot of battles that we think, man, I'm the strong one. No. God's the strong one. I'm thankful for all the Sunday school teachers for year after year after year, after they taught me good truth. I can take you back and talking about Brother Jeff Smith used to teach in our junior church class, and it was like super church. It was that big junior church class of 100 kids that came in on the bus and our church kids. And I remember him probably once a year preaching on the spider web of sin. And that you better watch out from putting your hand on that thing because you'll never be able to pull it back. And then you get the second hand tied up and you couldn't get out. And then you'd push off with your foot. And just the illustration and the teaching helped me as a believer and into my adulthood that I was scared to touch something that God said I shouldn't touch. Because I did know sometimes I may just want to touch it, but it'll get a hold of me and grab me. The Bible in chapter 6, you got to understand in context, the book is written to the Galatians. These people had trusted God by faith. Paul had won so many of them to Christ, but then someone else had come back and taught them some error. They had slipped in, and he calls them, oh, foolish Galatians in the book. He's going to really reprimand them some things and try to get them back on track with true doctrine. But he comes to the back end of the book. He's already corrected these things, but he doesn't just want them to be true in doctrine. He wants them to live a fruitful Christian life. He doesn't want them to live like, hey, you've been, now your hand's been smacked and now you're no good for God. No, he says, get back up off your duff. Yeah, you got knocked down. Yeah, you got knocked out for a moment, but now get back up and get in. You got knocked down, and yes, you were wrong, but hey, now you've been reproved. Get back in. Get on the right side of things and get back strong again. And so here he comes to the end of the book, and as believers, I believe that, I mean, we're not talking to a pack of believers that have been sold a pack of lies. You know true doctrine. You have the good word of God in the King James Bible. You've been taught in a good place. And now as we come to the end, when we can see that Jesus and the trumpet sounding is just around the corner, we can see all the signs of the times and the volcanoes going off and the earthquakes quaking. And I mean, everybody talking about it. And I mean, just even the wars and rumors of wars that are stirring about the nations. How in the world? I believe with all my heart. Listen, watch out. I don't know why the Lord wants me to say this, but I'm going to say it. Listen, when I've been in this place before, and if I look out here and see all the gray heads, most of the time you could know, and if you haven't learned by now, when it gets this good, the getting ain't good much longer. When it gets this built up and it seems like the economy's going to go on like a bull, it usually trips up. Amen and amen. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying that I got any kind of prophecy for you. I'm just telling you, the last time I followed God, I sold my part of the business. I got out of my business and followed God, exactly what God was telling me to do. And my father-in-law told me, and I called him, I said, how is the business? He said, I'm telling you right now, he said, it was God's hand on your life. He moved you out, and the work never came back again. When you stepped out of the business and went to Bible college, the work never came back. And listen, it took almost a decade for them to get busy like they had been when I was in the business with them. They couldn't have kept paying my paycheck even if I had stayed. You say, who was that? That was God. I just trusted God. When I moved here, I didn't know what I was going to make. I came to Bible college without a job. I met with Pastor Carter 2 days after I showed up. And I told Brother, Dr. Brown was here back then, and Dr. Brown, I kept telling him, he said, I don't know if he'll meet with you. I believe he'll give you a meeting. And I sat in that office. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell it again. I sat there across the, I didn't know who everybody here was. I was brand new. They moved me into some place, and Pastor sat in the office, and I said, I can do this, this, and this. And I had a resume out, and he's like, all this looks good, but he said, you know, I need a full-time man. I can't have a man going to college and work. And he said, you got to work 40 hours at least for me. I said, well, I'm going to have to work 40 hours somewhere. I'm going to have to work. He goes, well, you'd have to work half the night. I said, I'm going to have to work half the night somewhere because God called me to go to Bible college. And I'm coming either way. So if I work out at the Denny's all night or whether I work here, I'm going to work somewhere half the night. Because I've got to go to Bible college. That's what God told me to do. And we kept talking. He said, well, tell me about your church. And I started to tell him about the best place I thought on earth, about Salisbury, Maryland, and where I was from, where I was born and raised, and where God blessed my soul and saved me, baptized me. He gave me the best thing that I've gotten since Jesus was Sherry Parsons. Amen. And I mean, God just gave me all those things in and through the local church. Amen. And then he moved me to the best church on planet Earth. I didn't know this place existed, and he moved me here through Bible college. All those things came into my life, but I watched how many things God kept me out of. The economy tanked, and I moved across the country when no one else ever thought it was possible. The church took me on when they were having tough times. They let me work, and they paid me a salary, and I went to college. I could not have gone to college any other place and finished it in 4 years outside of this place because God ordained it, and I trusted him, and I stepped out by faith and came here. It didn't make sense. I told my family, I'm going down there. I sat in the office. It didn't make sense to me. I finished the meeting. He told me at least five times, I cannot hire you. I cannot hire you. I cannot hire you. The meeting ended. I was satisfied with that. I was going to go out and get a job. Pastor goes, well, if you're going to work with us. And I went, what is he talking about? And then he said, well, if you're going to work with us. And then Dr. Brown goes, congratulations. And I said, what just happened? He said, he just hired you. I said, what? Then he said, where are you living? I said, in that two-story dorms down there. They had moved me into the corner of the two-story down there, and it was in a little better shape than it is right now. A little. And I thought, man, you know, and he said, you can't live there. And I said, I can't. I need somewhere to live. I said, you know, he said, your little kids ain't got nowhere to play out there. My wife and I have been praying, folks. Do you know prayer works?
Amen.
I mean, I've been praying and begging God. We've been praying for a small house, 3-bedroom. We'd like to have 2-bath gone. We'd like for it to be chain link fenced in so that our little kids can ride their bikes. I'd like to have a concrete driveway if I could. Now, it might not look like much to you, but I got done with that meeting, and he says, Brown, call Janet. I didn't know who Janet was. But evidently, she was the one that we needed to call. Preacher didn't have a cell phone or anything on him then. He said, he started talking to Miss Mashad. He's like, is that gray house still open? I'll be there in 2 minutes for the key. I'm coming right now. He hung the phone up. I said, man, this is the craziest thing. He said, you know where the church is? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll meet you right behind it. I said, yes, sir, I'll be right there. Amen. And I came over there. And he walked me through the house. And I was doing all I could do to hold in what God was doing on the inside of me. We came up on that house. It's 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's chain linked in. It's got a concrete driveway where my kids can ride their bike. God laid all those things out, all because I trusted him, folks. Now, I moved in down here. Now, I could have pulled up to that 2-story building and said, no way, God. This ain't what I prayed for. This ain't what I signed up for. This ain't what I had. But God had something else in mind. But he just wanted to make sure that I wasn't too good for whatever he had for me. 2 days isn't too long to wait on God, is it? Lazarus waited longer than that. Amen? Hey, folks, here in the scripture, he's going to tell us some things. And sometimes, if we're not careful, if we don't come, I came here with the mindset that I was going to serve God. God had called me to do something, and I was coming to get trained to do what God wanted me to do. Some of you moved here because, man, this church has got the right book. It's got the right, it's got the right everything. It's got the right music and all those things. And listen, we got to be careful that one thing doesn't get us a kink in shorts or whatever it is that it kink us up. If we're not careful, we'll let something get in our head, and it'll mess up, and it'll get in our heart if we're not careful. And then it'll get to our hands, and we'll be turning the doorknobs to get out of the place that God wants us to be. Here in the scripture, he goes through some things, and I want you to see this in context tonight. In chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, he's going to say some things that I think are profound, but I want you to see it. This morning I preached about God's thought towards us. You know, if we're not careful, we think God's out to get us. But God loves us. God wants our best. He wants the best for us. He wants us to be right in the center of his will, and he's planned out a life for us to be at our best, our greatest potential that any of us could live. If we walked in God's way and in God's will, we would be in God's best. We'd be the best life we could ever live. And here, with that in mind, he's finishing this book. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he is telling these folks, again, some things. And if we're not careful, we'll look at this chapter and we'll think some different thoughts about what he's saying. How about this? Oftentimes when we read this verse, we read it in a different context than what we're going to see it here. In verse 7, let's go back to verse 6. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I want you to just understand, you know, that verse, sometimes when we hear, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a two-sided verse. When we do things that are outside of God's plan and His will reap the whirlwind of the things that we sow. But the blessing of the verse is if we do what God asks us to do, if we trust Him and we follow His work and His way and His will, that thing also pays off. There's going to be a reaping on the good side of this thing. If I stick it out and I do it right, then I'm going to reap good things. It's not just the bad things. Too many times when we read that verse, we put it in a negative light. And it can be negative if we live outside of God's will and His work. But when we get in His will and we get in His work, then we're going to reap the benefits of those things. Too many times we sit on the wrong side of that thing. It's a two-sided promise. And then He comes out and says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I just want to say this. Too many times when we see people, you know, a lot of people in this life, and I preached on the potter's hands, and sometimes the vessel is marred in the hand of the potter. Sometimes it doesn't take too long, because even though God will forgive us when we get out of His way and we get into sin, the scars of sin often follow us through the rest of our lives. Even though God can remake it a vessel that He can use for His honor and glory, oftentimes the scars don't leave us. Oftentimes that we may heal up and be able to be used in so many ways, but too many times people that have got out, you know who they are, drugs and alcohol and things, they still carry all those years of sin on their body. It's important for us as we come to this place that we realize He's not just talking to us as individuals, but He's speaking to a church. Especially in context for what we reap and what we sow. As a ministry, it's important that we realize that this collectively is, it's written to believers, but it's written to a church. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. But he's writing to a church because he's going to get to the place in verse 9, and he says, and again, if you want a title tonight, it'll be "Let Us." He's going to speak to a collective. That word "let" just means to permit, to allow. Let us. He's talking about a collective, a group, or a body of people. He's specifically writing to the church at Galatia, but he's writing to us tonight and saying, let us. As we look to do well, as we look to get in on God's will, and we have been doing it for decades and decades and decades. If we're not careful, then what will happen is in our weariness of the flesh sometimes, we feel like, but most of you got that handled. Let me just take you out of the thing, because a lot of times we give the flesh too much credit. It gets worn out and it gets weary, and we think that that's the number one area that the devil's going to attack us. Most of the time, if your flesh was flat out wore out, it'll go to sleep and it won't go to sin. It won't run out to the place that it ought not go because it's wore out. But the place you got to watch, and the place the devil will start his attack, and you'll get out of the work, and then you'll go spend your energy in sin, is the mind. He says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In context, he's still referencing back that if we're going to reap what we sow. In context, he's still saying, look, let us as a church, let us not get weary. Let us encourage each other. Why is it in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together or getting together as a church? Why is it that we don't forsake that? Because we need other believers. I can tell you, when I went to youth conference year after year after year, it encouraged me to realize that I was not the only teenager trying to live for God. But then I walked in the building and the place was full of teenagers, that there's other teenagers. Not all those teenagers were perfect. Not all those teenagers were living for God. But they showed up at a youth rally that I was out, and it was encouraging to me that other people were in the same struggle that I was a part of. They were trying to reap the right things. They were trying to love the right person. They were trying to give themselves to the right cause. Let us. I don't know about you, but there's too many times that people in a body of believers like this think that I don't matter. I can slip out the back door and nobody will notice or nothing will happen to the cause of God. No, 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 my friend. God knows just where you are. And just because the brand new preacher may not have learned your name yet, listen, I know that you're as important to this place as this preacher is. I realize every Sunday school teacher is more important to the little kid that comes on the bus because he don't know the preacher's name, but he knows your name. That little kid that comes and climbs up on the bus route and he knows you bus driver, and he can call you out by name. It's more important that you show up on Sunday than the preacher shows up on Sunday for that little kid, because he won't even know if Brother Parsons or Preacher Parsons isn't here. He's going to know when you're not there. Amen and amen. Amen. And oftentimes when we get weary and we walk out on God, it's because it's weariness in the mind, not because we're weary in the flesh. Let me read the definition of weariness to you. Weary here in the 1828 dictionary, the first definition is this: having the strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion. He says tired, fatigued. But then in parentheses, he says this: it should be clarified, however, that this word expresses less than that of being tired. Oftentimes, in our estimation or in our own definition, we like to make this word like we're flat out wore out. Or we want to put this in context because in the work of God, we got tired and fatigued. That's a good thing. God made work before there ever was sin. God gave Adam something to do to wear himself out every day in this life. Even if that wasn't eternal life, and if you think the millennial kingdom or heaven is just going to be sitting around and doing nothing or playing shuffleboard, you got another thing coming. God has ordained work since the beginning, and we will have work to do. Even if that work is simply to bow down and say, holy, holy, holy. If it's nothing else but to spend every day and every moment praising the name of the one who purchased us on Calvary, it will be worthwhile. And you say, well, I'm not going to get wore out because I've got a holy body. I've got a one that's been made back. Amen. You don't have to keep thinking about all the aches and pains, thinking about how in the world am I ever going to get up from my knees? How am I ever going to get up from this position? Amen. We don't have to think about that on the other side. We won't even get wore out. The only break we're going to take is when we go get chicken, bless God. Amen and amen. In the glorified body. You say, Brother Parsons, I am funning with you. But the second definition is this, and then I want to use your Bibles tonight just a little bit. I want to prove to you, we have this thing that we teach students down at the college about first mention. There's this principle of first mention, and that means the first time it's mentioned in Scripture is typically the way that word is going to be used throughout the Scripture. But here in the second definition by Webster, he uses this term, having thy patience exhausted, or the mind yielding to discouragement. I want to submit to you tonight that in this building, there are people who your patience have been tested. You probably are on staff and work at the Landmark Christian School. Yeah. Amen and amen. You probably teach Sunday school or drive a bus. Your patience has been tested. Today, on my bus route, my patience was tested. I thought I was at the breaking point until we tried to turn it around. We tried to make, they got that much energy, we need to get involved and use this energy, amen? Hey folks, I'm just telling you, but you know what? There are other people, it's not your patience. You've been discouraged. You've yielded your mind to discouragement. You have let a circumstance that has entered into your life take the best and get the best of you. You've let it take you and knock you down to a place where you don't think that the God that you serve is powerful enough to handle your business. Or you're not willing to trust him with it one more time because your patience and your mind are discouraged. Can I just tell you, God can always be trusted with your business. God can always be trusted with your life. God can always be trusted with your money, with your family, and with your time. God is always and forever will be trustworthy. Even if we get weary for a moment, even the preacher says, I know what it's like and I know where you're at. And the reason that God had him write it is because people get weary. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, there's a bunch of folks that you could get weary in making money. You could get weary in anything else, but I'm speaking to a church, a collective that has a purpose, and that purpose is the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. I believe that everything, every one of us here this morning, I don't know, there's people that are here tonight that weren't in the auditorium, but maybe in your class somebody got saved or on your bus route, but in here this morning, the Great Commission was again partly fulfilled, and we will follow up and see baptism and hopefully discipleship for the people that stepped out and walked an old-fashioned aisle and received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If I was about to get discouraged, that would encourage me. Too many times we let things that are outside of this place that we don't necessarily have control over discourage the things that God has commanded us to do. He says this, having the patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. We're going to find in Genesis 27, we're going to find a couple. Couples never get discouraged, don't they? Husbands and wife always encourage each other. Amen? And we ought to. But sometimes, if we're not careful, rather than getting together and trusting the Lord, we'll discourage each other. Yeah. We'll get each other wore out. We'll lose our patience with the people that God put together as one flesh. I know this. I thank God that God gave me a good wife, that when I'm on the downside, she's on the upside and she can encourage me. And we need to always be conscious never to get on the same page with each other about this thing of being weary. We need to mark it from a distance and get in the book and try to find a way to encourage our husband, ladies, and wives. When you see your husband getting a little bit wearied with patience, maybe, or wearied in the mind with discouragement, we need to lift each other up. We don't need to wallow in the same pit. We don't need to get in the same pity party pool and have a good time. Amen. That's not going to help us. Here we find this, and I believe this. This is just like a man. All right, I want you to see this. Because sometimes, and I'm thankful that this is good. In verse 46, we won't spend a lot of time here, but the law first mentioned, the first time that weariness is mentioned. In verse 46, Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Here is a mama who's had twin boys. And one of them's gone out and done wrong. And he is going to reap for what he's done. The nation of Israel will continue to reap and reap and reap what this brother sows throughout, really all the way up until Jesus comes back and fixes it. But here we see a mama who is weary. She's been patient. She's been trying to trust the Lord. But now she realizes my boy wants to get married. My boy wants to get married. She had reason. Because now her other son has already gone and done the wrong thing. And there's reason to be upset. But you know, Isaac, if we were to read the scripture, Isaac steps up and fixed the problem. Do you know, ladies, you know what God gave you the man for? To act. I've been in a place where sometimes every time you tell me a problem, I want to fix it. All right, I'm going to tell you how to fix it. The problem is sometimes we don't want to know how to fix it. We just want somebody to empathize with us. We want somebody to sit and stew down with us or tell us it's okay for us to keep stewing. This lady comes in there, and man, I'm telling you, and you know what? Her husband steps up and takes in verse chapter 28, and verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Hey, daddy took care of it. He showed up and did what God had told him to do. He sent the boy back to get a wife. He said, listen, now you say, well, that's the first mention. That is first mention. That weariness, can I tell you the first mention? That wasn't her body aching. That wasn't her body wore out. That was now mama's heart is broken. One boy's already gone off the deep end. If both these boys marry wrong, what was my life even about? Hey, folks, if we're not careful, sometimes when things happen around us, we'll start questioning, what is my life even about? We'll let our work, we'll let things around us define us rather than letting God define our lives. We'll let the things going on in the circumstances of this life define who we are when it's whose we are that should define us. We can't allow ourselves to get weary in the mind and fall out of God's work and His plan, because there are other people. I'm going to tell you right now, those that fall out don't go by themselves. It is always a domino effect. It will click and hit other people as you go. You say, well, I heard one of the preacher tell me that the guy in his church just said, you know what? I've just made my mind up. I know I can't live this Christian life. I'm just going to buy a house in the backside of nowhere in Georgia, and I'm just going to find a little church to sit on the back pew and do nothing and just go and just be there and not do anything for God, because I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of getting bruised up. I'm tired of being defeated in the mind. I'm tired of being discouraged. Hey, folks, that's circumstances getting to a man. That's all the things that other people do to us, rather than looking at how good God is, rather than looking at He is worthy. It don't matter what any man says or what any other man does to me or does around me. He should not be able to discourage the church of the living God. No action of a government should deter the actions of a church. Let us not be wearied in well-doing. There is going to come a day. I read an article. Dr. Lee sent me an article this week about the church in Canada having to go underground to complete the Great Commission. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if there ever comes a day that the chain link the place off and we can't have school and we can't have church, let us meet somewhere. We're not the building. The church is the people. And if we can find a place where we can dig a hole, or we can go out to camp and we can find a place that we can gather together the way God has commanded us, so that we can better complete the Great Commission, let us go on for God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. Folks, I'm here to tell us, so many times we focus on the things that we ought not focus. We focus on the circumstances and they get us down. They weary us out. They tire us out. But more than that, look at the scripture with me. Go back, if you would, Galatians chapter 6. And we'll finish up. He says, in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. See, we also, most of the time, we focus on the weariness. We focus on the discouragement. We don't focus on, hey, if I stay faithful, someday there's going to be a reaping day. Hey, if I don't know about you, but it's a blessing. And sometimes they don't always come. But it's a blessing when we get to be in this building, and I know for sure those people didn't just wander in here. It might have been the radio that reached out to them and got them here. It might have been a soul winner that knocked the door and gave a track. It might have been a bus kid that just said, they said, where are you getting on the bus to go to? I'm going to that place called Landmark. Amen. It's in Haines City. It might have been anybody that got those people in this place. It might have been somebody else that planted the seed. It might have been somebody else that watered. But this morning, the Great Commission was fulfilled in the first part in salvation, and we reaped a harvest of souls in this place, and I got excited. There wasn't any discouragement when I seen them step out. When I said, hey, is there anybody that needs Jesus in the building? And the hand was lifted. I said, oh Lord, on the inside of me, I started to do this. And I said, there's a lost one in the crowd. Amen. And they've come in here to get Jesus, and I'm excited. And I started praying, and I know people that leave their seat and they're down here. And you may think they're so wrong with God, but they're on their face before God every Sunday morning begging God that person will step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and be saved. And that's their part. Hey, we reap this morning some rewards, and if we keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ, if we don't get faint in our minds, if we don't get wearied out, we're going to reap. And I don't know about you, but I just as soon reap every Sunday. I know we're going to sow. And sometimes I spit in water all at the same time. But I sure would like to reap some on the way. Amen and amen. He says this, if we faint not. You know, fainting oftentimes sometimes it's physical. But most of the time, people that faint, it's a mental thing. I had an aunt, and I jumped out of the side of the pool to get a ball, and I was at her house, and somebody had broken a bottle on the side of the pool. And when I jumped out of the pool, I landed on that piece of glass. Now, I was the one that was cut, and I was bleeding pretty hard. And I went in the house, and my aunt said, I can't stand the sight of blood, but let me see it. And I'm just going to, there was a snapshot. It was a Kodak moment for me for the rest of my life. I lifted my foot. My aunt went, boom. And I mean, she went out like a light. And she weren't cut. I was the one bleeding. There was nothing wrong with her, but she could not stand the sight of blood. Can I just tell you, if you're not careful, you're going to get something in your mind and you're going to program yourself that you're scared to death of that one thing. And if I could tell you what the devil's going to try to lift up in front of you over and over again, is something that'll make you faint. So why do we need to come to church? Because the preacher preaches on things that ought not make us faint. The preacher's going to say, let us go on. He doesn't just stop there. He goes on. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You know what I find is one of the most struggling things for believers in this life oftentimes? As believers, many times, you and I, when we're really going on and doing things, we want to do things. We don't have a problem doing things for people that we don't even know. But sometimes when a believer needs something, we know what's been going on in their life. They ain't been doing right. Well, when did that qualify them for help? If we can go out and somebody that needs something, we can go out and do good to all men. Then he says this, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us, church, as we look around and we desire, look at folks that are getting discouraged and encourage them. Look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them, do you know what I need and what you need? We need to find somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad that you showed up in God's house. You had a choice to make this morning, but you made a choice to come to God's house and be here. I'm thankful for you. Thank you for all that you do. We can't be thankful enough for each other. If I came and I had to preach to three people, that would be great, but I'm so thankful that you showed up tonight so we had people to preach. I'm so thankful that on Saturday there were people that showed up and went out on the bus routes and knocked doors. I'm so thankful that the Fishers of Men and the Foster ladies went out and knocked doors this Saturday. I'm so thankful that people are going and doing, and let us continue in this life. This body that we have, this mind, controls a lot of everything that goes on. And if we're not careful, we'll get weak here. And we'll quit here. We'll faint here. Most of us want to focus on having holy hands, and we ought to have holy hands. We ought to have, I'm just going to tell you, we ought to have just not holy hands, but I think this thing right here, we ought to have a humble head. Whatever you need, Lord. I want to trust in the Lord with all mine heart. I want my center of my being to have, if I was wearing the t-shirt tonight, I would want it to say, trusting in the Lord. And it affects my hands and my work and affects my head. When I say, we can't do it. Oh, no, my heart says we're trusting in the Lord. Amen. We can't quit now. We've given everything for God. We did it yesterday. Why would we quit now? It's all downhill from here. Amen. I don't know about you, but when Jesus coming back and looking at the appearing, the signs that are all around us, why would you ever want to fall out now? When reaping is so close. When you can see the signs of the time and you can see that Jesus is coming soon, Why would you want to turn loose of what God has got you tightly gripped to? Church, I tell you, I know that I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I believe somebody in here, if you're not careful tonight, you were thinking about, I've lost my patience with this and I can't do it anymore. No, yeah, you can. That's the way the world talks. You say, you go to God and say, God, I can't do it anymore. Help me do it. God, you give me the strength to go on. God, you give me the strength. You give me the knowledge. You take me and give me more patience. Help me to have temperance. Help me add these things to my faith. Christian, I'm discouraged. You don't understand what happened. Listen, I don't understand, but God does. Take your discouragement to Him, and He'll turn it to encouragement when you watch Him, and you just trust Him with it, and He does better than you could ever ask or think of Him. Trust Him tonight. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here tonight, and I didn't preach a salvation message, but I preached about a Savior that I trusted a long time ago. I didn't just put Him, faith in Him with my mind and with my heart, but I gave Him trust. I trusted Him with my eternal destiny. I said, Jesus, I need You to save me. I believe that You died on the cross, that You were buried, and on the third day You rose again in power. And I trusted in Him as my Savior. If you're here tonight and you need Jesus as your Savior, you need to start a relationship with Him, would you step out and come and meet me in the front? And if you're a believer and you've been discouraged, come and tell God about it tonight. If you're a believer or a school teacher and you've lost your patience, come and ask God for patience with your students tonight. Church, let us keep on keeping on and not faint. Brother Burt, would you lead us in a song?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
People have come, have opportunity. Maybe you haven't joined the church. We'd love for you to be a part of this church. You join us through baptism or by letter. But if you've been coming a long time, I preached a lot about let us go on for God. Be a part of us. Join us the Bible way through baptism or by statement. We'd love for to have you come. We'll give you one more verse, an opportunity to do so. Folks, I don't do that because I don't love you. I say that because I know what it means to be a part of a group like this. Not just show up and be a part, but I mean really be a part of the local church. Brother Burt, would you lead us?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here tonight. I want to dismiss you in prayer tonight. I just want to encourage the deacons, If you can meet me right after the service in the office, I'd like to speak with you. We have basketball tonight. If you're not a part of the league, I'm sure somebody will let you jump in. And just don't do what the preacher did. I fell down the other day and hurt myself. And so it was really Brother Spadano. He knocked me down, really. But anyway, you pray for him. Amen. So, we did have a good time. It's been a good time over there. Pray for us this week. Pastor Carter will be preaching up at Revival Fires. And I'll be flying with Brother Tim Manis up there to Revival Fires, and we'll be there most of this week up there at a meeting. And so pray for us if you think about us this week, and pray for Sunday. You know, even though we're just about to finish one, there's another one on its way. Amen. We need to be working and trusting Jesus. Brother Marvin, would you pray and close us?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving, and heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you for the blessings that you've given us to today, for the good messages that we've heard, for the salvations that came forward this morning, and then again for the message tonight. Help us to have open hearts and open minds, apply it to our life that we may live and serve you better. And Father, for Pastor Carter, be with him and Pastor Parsons as they travel and attend those meetings that were spoken of. And Father, for the ones on our prayer list, we continue to lift them up. Lord, just give us all a good night and a good week to come. Bring us back at the next appointed time on Wednesday that we may honor and serve you and glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.